this is Joanna Martin, the founder of One of Many, and welcome to the One of Many Voices podcast, where you'll meet one of many inspiring women helping you to have more, to give more, without necessarily having to do a heap more. Today, we are speaking to the lovely Anne Wilson. Anne Wilson is the wealth chef, a financial educator, a wife, mum of two furry kids. She's got two lovely dogs that she loves very much. She's a nature lover, a rocker, and a biker. Anne Wilson is a multimillionaire with a difference. She certainly didn't have a huge family inheritance or a business that she sold for millions or a lucky win in the lottery. She simply learned how to master a key ingredient in life, which is money, and use it to live her dreams and become financially free. And it's very inspiring talking to her about this when you do. Despite being highly educated, like many of you, she was completely financially illiterate. And as a result, found herself in her 20s with loans, credit cards, and loads of money drama. I can certainly relate to that. I went through that stage too. And for all of us, it's not our fault, right? Like most of us, she simply was never taught the keys to becoming financially savvy and building wealth instead of consuming it all. And then she swore to herself at that point that she would figure out a better way. And she certainly did that. By the age of 38, Anne had achieved her own financial freedom, meaning that she could choose to stop actively working, and her wealth continued to grow and support her in her chosen lifestyle. The thing I love about Anne is she's incredibly passionate about bringing money out of the closet for women. And that's why we have her here on One of Many Voices today. Anne, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it is such a pleasure being here, Joanna, and talking about this thing called money.
I know. I get really excited about it too. I know we're a little bit freaky like that, but I think you and I are kind of, sisters in that we quite like talking about this thing that scares a lot of people, right?
Yeah, because it's one of those things that so many of us, we do want to talk about it, but we don't know how to talk about it. Because if we talk about it, is it going to come across that we're greedy, grabby? But if we don't talk about it, where does it come? And it's in so many ways. So it is, it's even better than sex. To talk about it. To get out of the closet.
Get it out of the closet, baby. Well, listen, Anne, I've talked a little bit about your background there, about, you know, you're highly educated, worked really hard, spent as much as you earned, probably, like most of us, but then something just clicked for you and you realized that, right, got to get this sorted. Tell us a bit about your background and how you went from someone who was a highly educated, successful woman, but not getting ahead financially, to being financially free by the age of 38. How did that actually occur?
Joanna, the real crux for me came on a Tuesday afternoon. I was working as a civil engineer in Hong Kong. I was, trying to do all ticking the boxes that I thought were the right things to do. You know, get that good job, work hard. And at this point, I'd managed to climb out of my debt hole and I'd sworn, okay, now I'm going to control myself. You see how little I can hold, spend, because if I can hold on to it all as much as possible, then maybe someday in the future I'll be okay. Mm. And then I can do the things I really want to do. And this contraction, this projection of one, I had no idea how much that was. Mm. So it was this never ending point of have no idea what I was even aiming for, but it was just all about what I couldn't do, what I couldn't have, thought that maybe this is what they mean to be grown up. And all that happened was the relationship, the marriage I was in, this really started creating a lot of conflict between us in terms of different values. I had no idea how to even talk about my money values, and let alone how to have a conversation with somebody else. It was so confusing enough for me to sort of get my head around this, let alone how to have this conversation. And on that Tuesday, I watched my money that I'd saved, worked so hard for and tried to hold on to, together with my marriage, walked out the door.
Oh, and I was in, man.
Yeah, and I was in this foreign country. I didn't have any family or friends around, and I just went, I sat on the pity potty, I'll be completely honest. Like, whoa, poor me. And then I just thought, wow, that is spectacular. That didn't take too long. I was only in my early 30s. Now I'm a divorcee, broke.
Look at me. Look what I've achieved.
Yeah. Some people take a lot longer to get to this place. And I reflect reflected and I realized that in terms of this side, it was really important to me around money. And I wasn't prepared to go to the place that, oh, well, I must make this not important, because there were just so many areas. I'd watched my mum as a widow, being young, having to, and the stress and cope with that and ignorance, not knowing who to trust. I'd seen in my own life, and I really wanted to grapple with this and be financially independent and be able to do those things. So it wasn't an option for me to let that go. But I thought, hang on, when I look back, I realized I'd only ever been taught about one world, which was this working hard for money. Mm. And it was really going, maybe there is another way. And that started a journey. And really what I described was almost entering into another paradigm. It was like there's two worlds that run side by side. And most of us are only ever shown through our education system about how to work for money, how to be an employee or even being self-employed in this exchanging our life force for money. And almost this, then you deserve it, then you can bring it in, versus this other world, which you almost go on to the side and you watch and rather be a leader and the orchestrator of this thing called money. And then you see it as just like a Play-Doh and go, ah, my role here is actually to see what I can create and transform and do with it. And start understanding that money intrinsically wants to expand. It intrinsically wants to grow. But the challenge is most of us have never realized that. And so we send it off out of our world to grow somewhere else.
One of the distinctions that we talk about a lot in One of Many is that one of the things that stops our leadership so much, our ability to, as you say, kind of create our life in general, not just in the realm of money, but to create our difference and to leave our legacy, to get focused on the things that are important to us, is constant stress and worry about money. I mean, if we're living paycheck to paycheck, we've got a big debt hanging over our shoulders, we're never really going to be able to say, this is what I want to do with my time that's most important and the most the closest expression of myself in the world, because we're tied up in knots around, you know, around finance and survival, really. Now, one of the things I love about you, Anne, is you say you don't have to earn your way to financial freedom. In fact, you can't earn your way to financial freedom. Tell us what you mean by that.
So great, because, nobody earns their way. So when we're trained to be an earner, this exchange, we are always got a cap on ourselves, because we are firstly exchanging our resources, our time and our skills in that direct relationship. So firstly, there's a cap. But the challenge with this is we have this very linear thinking. So I have, you know, if I put work certain number of hours, I've got this skill, I get a certain amount back. And so then you start going, okay, so now I must save some of that in order to then get to a point where I have enough that I could stop working. And when we think in a linear way, that is completely overwhelming.
Yes.
And certainly for me, when I eventually calculated what was enough for me, got out of just the, I have no idea, but calculated, that was like, oh my God, how the hell am I ever going to earn that money, let alone save it?
Yeah, right.
So that I can, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, so that I could have a lump big enough for me to last indefinitely or 30, 40 years. It was like, bloody hell. And then I went, well, this obviously can't be the way. And that's why I say you don't earn it. In fact, your only job is to provide the seed.
Wow. That takes away the overwhelm just even saying it like that.
Because imagine the farmer. It's like a farmer thinking, okay, I'm going to plant, you know, I'm going to grow avocados. I've got to go and plant a whole lot of fully grown avocado trees. Mm. No, you plant the seedling. Mm. So it's exactly the same thing. And because money makes the money for us, the assets make the money, but that is our job. It is to take the seed and then convert that and put that seed into an environment where it can thrive.
So is that how you increase your income without working harder then?
Absolutely, because that money now starts earning money.
Right.
So where, you know, and this is part of that subtlety. A lot of people want that income immediately to them. But say you've got to allow those seedlings to grow. You've got to allow that to grow. So it is earning money for you, but you want to reinvest that. You want to replant that in so it can get strong enough to the point at which it can be sustainable. So it's about taking a small seed from what we do earn that becomes the abundant seed. Plant that in one of these asset forms, investment property, the stock market, into a residual passive income business. And that's, you know, such a huge category in itself. But you're wanting to create little engines in addition to yourself. Because most people, they think they've only got a bicycle to go through the whole of life. Mm. If you stop pedaling that bicycle, it stops. Mm. If you want to have a break, it stops. So while you're pedaling, that's where we all start off, unless you get the ruddy inheritance or whatever else. But actually, how sad, we don't get to discover how amazing we are. So while you're doing that, you just take a small part, and what you're doing is you're creating engines that can tick over, so that when you want to take your feet off the pedals, the vehicle still keeps moving forward.
Ah, that sounds absolutely extraordinary. So in terms of kind of creating these little seeds that eventually will turn into those engines, how important would you say budgeting and money management then becomes?
We need to learn how to be a great leader and a great manager of our money.
Okay.
So these are two different things.
Explain.
The leadership is like in your business. You need to have the vision. You need to know what is that mission? What are you wanting that business, your life, to represent? What is that end point? So this gives the framework around which you are taking this journey. Then management is about the tasks and the day-to-day actions and activities within that business called your life that ensures you're on that path. Because we can manage stuff fantastically, but we might be managing the wrong things. Right. And this is how we can end up climbing the wrong ladder against the wrong wall. We can climb that ladder really, really efficiently and effectively. But so this is where the leadership has to come first, because when you know what you want to create, what wealthy is for you, now you can go and start doing money management.
Yeah, that's interesting you say it that way. My sister is one of the best money managers I've ever met, and she became an extraordinary money manager because she and her husband have lived really almost below the poverty line, because they were both starting businesses. They hardly had anything coming in, and so she had to make these tiny amount go really, really far. But that's a perfect example of where the ladder's on the wrong tree.
Absolutely.
One of the things when I talk to women about money, it's a conversation that comes up a lot when you're mentoring women in kind of whole life management, which is what we do at One of Many. And one of the things that comes up often is, well, I've just got to sort out my money, and like I've just got to earn some more, and then I'll start investing. Like going and investing right now, it's too soon for me. And it sends off all these red flags for me. I just wonder what your opinion is. When a man or a woman says to you, yeah, that's all very well and good, but I'm not getting enough clients. I've got to focus on growing my business, you know, or whatever that turning your life force energy into money phase is. If all the attention's on there, is that the right way to think about it? Should we do that for 6 months or 12 months? Or should we start investing straight away? What's your thoughts about that, Anne?
I love this. When we are saying that, when we always put this if then and make what we truly want have to be something as a result of some if then equation. You know, if I'm a good girl, then daddy will notice me. Mm. If I do my homework, if I eat my vegetables, then I'll get dessert. And so what also happens in terms of financial well-being, and women are really, really about this, you know, if I look after everybody else first, if I look after my business first, my children, my family, then I will be worthy of this for myself. But the challenge is, if we're constantly telling the universe in all these areas with our time, energy, and our money that we need to come last, that is what we will create. So this first distinction of being, and this comes to this key phrase called pay yourself first, which very few people truly understand. A lot of entrepreneurs think that means, oh, they must pay themselves a salary. Mm. But that money is still going out of their life.
Yes.
Paying yourself first is actually saying, I am worthy for some of that money to stay in my life and continue to support me. Mm. My dreams are worthy of investing in. I am worthy. And it can be one of the hardest things to do. So many women will say, I'll start investing once the kids have left home, or once this, or once the business is in this side, both in themselves and in other assets, because we are just one of the four assets. We have stock market, property market, passive income business, and ourselves, which are our greatest assets. Because it's only through us, when we come back to the leadership and management, it's our skills, our mindset, our knowledge, and our creativity that will create that abundant life. But it's also those skills that will give that leadership to ensure that we're getting the highest rates of return from those assets. It's that knowledge of these different things. But we only do that if we choose to say that we realize that we are the chef. Mm. We are the chef creating that dish. It's never the ingredient. But if we don't skill ourselves up, if we don't appreciate that, if we don't invest in ourselves and put those seeds in place, it can never, ever happen. So we have to break that if then and hold out for the and.
Got it. So really, we do need to be thinking about, even if, you know, if we're at a point in our, so would you suggest if someone's at a point in their life when they are just making ends meet, you know, with what's coming in and what's going out, they're just making ends meet, that they start with a habit of putting aside £1 or $1 or what, just whatever small amount it is to start seeding, to start developing this asset? Is that what, is that how you would, how that if then shifts to an and kind of mentality?
Absolutely, because it's the habit.
Right.
And the belief is so much more important than the amount. Because a lot of people say, oh, well, and I don't have enough. Mm. You know, I need, and think that they need a lot of money to start. Mm. Ooh, thousands of pounds, whatever. It's not. That £1 is that seed. And with that setting aside, when we go, because what we're sending ourselves is ourselves and a message is that there's enough. And so it might just be that first pound 1 month, then the next one next month. But seeing like, oh, okay, my world didn't fall apart because I allowed myself to keep some of what I made. Yes. How cool is that?
Yes.
Let me stretch the boundary and I'll double it to £2 next month. Yes. Then I'll double it to £2. Oh, my God, the world still didn't fall apart. And in fact, I'm having fun and I can see this difference. That's what creates that snowball.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, one of the things that a lot of women find very challenging, and I count myself in this, you know, my husband, Greg, and I, brilliant. Communication is the foundation of our relationship. And money conversations have always been the stickiest for us. Now, we had a bit of a breakthrough around it 3 years ago, but which also coincided with things getting a hell of a lot easier, you know. So it's always when things are tough, when you need to be able to have a conversation with your spouse, that it's perhaps the hardest, isn't it? Do you have any tips for having conversations with your spouse about money?
I do. And just like you, it's such an interesting dance. And, you know, what I love about this wealth journey on all sides is – it is a journey. It's a lifetime wonderful exploration of ourselves and allowing it to be that and not thinking there's one place where you suddenly go, woohoo, it's all done.
Yes.
You know, me, yeah, I've now got a place where I've got all the income I need, but I'm loving, I still learn every day about the various sides of abundance, of scarcity, of noticing where maybe fears of contraction comes up and what is that about. And on my relationship side, having lost, well, messed up my first relationship and then going to the second, I was very aware of it but still didn't have the skills. And I can be a control freak. And which comes, I guess, from wanting certainty to want – it can also be a fear base. It also can be because, I've got powerful opinions. And with Dave and I would really, really get quite heated. And I would get very, very frustrated because I didn't actually feel that he understood where I was coming from or why I wanted this. So my first key tip, which I learned, was getting to a place where I could just communicate and express my why.
Right.
And let it hang there, not needing to now, and therefore you need to do da, 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 and come with the plan. And as women, getting comfortable to also, and in order to be able to express my why, it meant that I had to work deeper on going, well, why do I really want this? What does it mean to me? What will feeling financially secure? Why do I want us to invest in X and Y or put this money aside or manage ourselves? What will it enable me to do, be, and have? So I had to do that deep journey first in order to communicate that. But the key thing was first just expressing my why and then shutting up walking away. Hard for me to learn. But shut up, Anne, and realize that my man or my partner, you know, Dave happens to be a man, but somebody's partner, we might have had a lot of time to think about these different things. So I'm already on the motorway in the fast lane, screaming along, going, okay, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. My poor man hasn't even reversed out of the garage yet. So allowing space for him to get there, but also with balance to say, okay, I shared that with you. So what would it mean to you now? And again, to listen. And then from that, because this is where we can start getting clear on, do we have aligned money values? Before we get into the nitty gritty of, no, you can't have that extra beer. Or, you know what I mean? It's not in the budget. And I think they're also just sometimes, Jana, when we've gone through those conversations, sometimes our value structures can be just so misaligned. And then we have to make those choices as to how we want to take it forward. And that's why if we can get these money conversations happening far sooner in relationships in an empowered way, that it's not like, oh God, I can't ask my partner about, do they invest? Do they have debt? You know, how much do they spend? Do they save anything? What do they earn? What do they want from finances? Because we've been taught in a way that as women, then you're just a sort of gold digger.
Yeah, this is it, right? But interestingly, marriage up until about 100 years ago was all about financial arrangements. I mean, that's what it was really about. It wasn't about love. I mean, this is something, well, maybe in the 1800s was when it actually started becoming about love. Before then, it was actually about preservation of wealth, which is really interesting because now exactly we don't have these conversations yet. One of the cornerstones of most marriages or long-term relationships is how do we create a future for the two of us together? And sometimes if you don't have those conversations up front, it's really terrible. So, I'm totally with you on that, that it would be really great to be able to have those conversations in a way that doesn't have you land as gold digger, all of the rest of it, but it just as someone who is interested in if we're going to be in a long-term relationship, then we need to talk about the kind of future we want to create together and what's important about that. I think that's probably the place to come from, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think this goes right back to the beginning of our conversation, comes back to this understanding value. Because when we truly can value ourselves, when we can truly value our missions, when we truly value this incredible privilege of this life that we've been given the opportunity to explore and understand the role that money, how important it is as an enabler and a supporter, not as a target, but as something that comes from below and supports us into achieving that, we'll realize that those conversations are not about scarcity or don't come from our small self. They don't come from the gold digger. It's actually holding both people up to the highest vision and version of what life can be. Because then we then come from that conversation of that, this is actually really exciting. Yeah. Let's have this talk. How are we investing? And you know what? If you've got into debt today, great. Let's know about it now. So we don't have the shame. We don't bring shame and blame and then a reason to accuse the other person of holding us back.
Yeah, which is so, so important, isn't it? And that's probably a really good segue for us into what you're up to at the moment, which I'm really excited about. And that is sharing at a very, very deep level these distinctions that we do get into around money and the things that hold us trapped and how we can shift this from this place of money being, you know, a problem for us into it being a great support and a great ally of what it is we want to create in the world. I've just been watching one of the videos that you've got available at the moment, and the first one being about not earning your way to financial freedom and really what that really deeply means. It's a fantastic video, and I know that there's a bunch more coming. I wonder if you could just tell the community what you're up to and how they can get involved if they know that they really need to transform their relationship with money and start creating the financial future they dreamed of.
Yeah, it's really about me inviting as many people as possible to just hold my hand and let me take you into this other world where you learn how you can get money working for you, how you can start creating these assets. So you work from a place of choice and abundance and joy, and you grow this and you see this adventure. And I use the analogy in one of the videos about like when I learned how to scuba dive, of going in, you need to learn the skills. There are some different rules in this world, how to be safe, but it's an abundant world. It's joyful and it's amazing. So through these videos of giving the key strategic high-level distinctions about how does this world function, really understanding this amazing, amazing miracle called compounding and how we get it working for us, and how with just subtle little shifts, we can see how to expand this and break this mindset that we need a lot of money to make money, or that it's hard, or that it has to be complicated, and how with just a tiny bit of knowledge can be end up a result. For example, Joanne, I think in the second video, I show that understanding the difference between passive versus actively managed investment funds, and understanding how fees are on these investment products that people buy, and by just naivety and being afraid of asking questions, can cost people a 70% difference in the end result. Wow. So there's no more money. All right. But this is the frightening thing, that Joanna, most people enter into, you know, go to a financial advisor and we don't feel we have the confidence to ask the questions or even know that subtlety of these different products, that actually going what's called the passive route, even less activity doing side, but understanding for no more money, no more time, no more risk, you can end up with a 70% difference. This is like you and me going into business. And I say, Joanna, you take all of the risk, you put money up front. At the end of the day, how's this for a deal? You keep 30% of the end value and I'll take 70%.
No!
Exactly! But this is the relationship and what is happening every single day to thousands and thousands of people as they enter into their pension plans, they enter into investment products with financial advisors. Now, I'm not anti per se a whole financial industry, although for a lot of people it just hasn't served them. But this tiny bit of naivety, or let me call it ignorance, of just not being aware of this world, that's the end result. And this is why so many people, tragically, despite doing what they think has been the right thing, can end up being in a place of maybe surviving, but when they should be thriving.
Yeah. So these are the sorts of distinctions that you're going into in the video series.
And how it can be so much simpler. And then what are the components of all of your financial freedom vehicle? Because for me, it also was that agoraphobia almost of not knowing what I didn't know. Mm. And what have I not got covered? And you know, I might be working on this area, maybe my passive income business, but you know, am I exposed over here? So it's about these, there are 10 core components that include insurances, wealth documents like wills, the different kind of assets, how to do the day-to-day money management, leadership. How does this all fit together so you can do it in an easy way that also doesn't consume your entire life? Because we're all really busy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That makes it easy so we can put this wonderful foundation of financial well-being under us. Yes. While we create that financial freedom, because it's not about when I've got it, then I'm going to do all these things. It's about doing it at the same time. So yeah, people can pop along to thewealthchef.com/Joanna, and these videos are there. They're actually free, great content. I've got some downloads as well, jargon busters to help you, you know, get through the language of this investment world and just demystify. And then from that, see whether they want to explore to take that further to Financial Freedom University. But what's a great part of these videos, they really are great content, give you a great starting point to go, wow, this is a world that I can actually see I can thrive in. And it's most definitely not as scary as I may have thought.
And I have to say myself, you know, in preparation for today's podcast, going and having a look at that, that was exactly what I felt like. And when you opened today by saying, you know, there's kind of these two worlds that exist in parallel. One where we just trade our life force for energy for money our whole life and hope we can save enough and hope we'll be able to live off what we save and hope and hope and hope. And then this other world that doesn't obey the same rules, where it's kind of like, and that distinction that you do share about it being like going under the sea and there's this beautiful world there that you know is there but you've never really explored. I just love, I did, I felt like I went into that world and all of a sudden it started to make more sense and it's clearer and the way you see things is different. And it is just about learning the different rules of safety. So it's such a fantastic distinction you have around this stuff. And I really highly recommend that every single woman in the community goes and at least watches that first video to start appreciating, because I know that you're a part of the one of many community because you feel you have a difference to make in this world, because you feel that your life is about more than just surviving it. It's about leaving a legacy, making a difference, and contributing in some way. And whether that be a financial contribution, in which case you absolutely need to get your money sorted out, or whether it's just an energy contribution, in which case you still need to get money sorted out, because to the extent that it's a problem, you haven't got the energy to give because it's taking energy just to manage and get along. This is an area, it's one of what we talk about as one of our key pillars in our leadership platform. Wealth has to be sorted if you want to be living in the West. You know, it's just the way that it is. So let's do that and series there at thewealthchef.com/Joanna is a really great place to start. And thank you so much for your wisdom today. Thanks for helping letting us peep into that world. Today it's been fantastic having you on the line.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, and I'm just so aligned and love the mission of One of Many, and just I think the whole force for good that we are all creating of the shift, and it's just so joyful to be part of this greater tribe.
It's awesome. Thanks very much, Anne. You've been listening to the One of Many Voices podcast, where you've met one of many inspiring women helping us to have more and give more without necessarily doing a lot more. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing you on our next One of Many Voices podcast very soon.